Hi, welcome to Love Saranghae with Peter and Andrea. In the next 30 minutes, we'll take you on a journey into the exciting world of entrepreneurship, relationships, and the secrets behind achieving that coveted glow. Are you ready? Let's go. Hello, how are you doing today, Andrea?
I'm fabulous. How are you?
I'm fabulous too. So everyone, welcome back to Love Saranghae podcast with Peter and Andrea. This is episode 2, where we go deeper into how we juggle our marriage, our parenthood, and entrepreneurship at the same time, appropriately titled, Who's the Boss? And we'll figure out who the boss is at the end of this episode.
We'll see. Everybody should know that already.
True enough. Okay, so probably the most common question we get from our listeners or our customers, is, how did you guys meet? Tell me the story of you and Andrea. Let's start with that. Please share, my dear wife, our founding story, the Peter and Andrea founding story. How did we meet? How did this union come about? And how do you feel about it?
Well, since everything's on the table, we met online. Shout out to match.com.
I tell people all the time we met at Starbucks, which is not a lie. That was our first date.
That was the first time we met in person.
Yeah.
That was our first date, I guess. But we met online. And I remember you sent me a message. I don't remember what the message was about. Like, I don't know what you said. But I remember you had this picture of your bicep. Like, was kind of like... You're leaning on your this spiky mohawk, and I was like, oh, please. So I had no intention of this going anywhere, but, you know, I responded to you. I can't remember what I said, but I responded to you. But what kept me interested is our conversation. So unlike some of the other people on Match, you actually put a lot of thought into your questions to me and our sort of online conversation. So we spoke through email for probably 3 or 4 weeks before we met. And you sent me a message almost every day, and it was like a page long, a well thought out page long of information. And I really enjoyed reading it. And I started to look forward to it. So when you invited me for a tea or a coffee, I couldn't resist. So that was how I met you, quote unquote, online.
I had to bring my A game.
There was a time in my life where I wasn't really looking for a long-term partner. I was just enjoying dating because I was in a relationship prior to, it was a very long relationship, and I was not really looking to settle down at that point. I was just really enjoying going out in Toronto and having fun. But our first date was like 5 hours long, which
probably
is the longest first date I've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
And I had 3 other dates lined up that week. And one in particular I was very excited about. But after meeting you, all those other dates seemed rather boring. And the date that I was really excited about ended up being really bad. And all of them, I was like, oh, I wish Peter was here. And right then, I was like, okay, I need to explore this.
There you go.
What about you?
Yeah. So my perspective, so everyone should know that this is all before like Bumble or what's the other app that you swipe through?
Plenty of Fish.
You know, the one you swipe left, swipe light, right?
I don't know. We're really old. This is like 5 years ago.
Yeah. So this was all before, you know, this whole idea of you swiping left, swiping right. You actually had to read the profile and respond to it. So I really enjoyed the profile. I thought she looked very nice in the pictures. And I contacted her. And there wasn't many. I think I ended up contacting maybe half a dozen at the time. And she responded. And the conversation was excellent back and forth. It was obvious that she was a writer because, you know, the responses came back well written and well thought out. That was a nice
no
one.
No LOLs.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you just had the opportunity to get to know each other more than just simply swiping right and swiping left. And then our first day was interesting because I was waiting there. I got there a little early, and I was
as
waiting
always.
In the corner. I'm always 5 minutes early. I'm very
five minutes to an hour.
That's like her pet peeve.
I discovered that on the third date.
I'm always early. So I'm sitting there on the corner waiting.
Painful.
And what was interesting was that a girl was walking up towards me like she knew me, like she was expecting me, but she looked completely different than you. She completely different. She had like red hair. And I'm thinking to myself, what am I in for? Because, you know, it's one thing to have a picture that's like 5 years different, but it's a completely whole different story when you have somebody else's picture and you're showing up. I'm like, wow, this girl has either, you know, some really big cojones or she's whack. So I'm like, oh my God, what do I do here?
That's always the scary part about online dating, though, right? Like, you never know what you're actually talking, like,
this
who
is not
going to
end well.
To
yeah,
you.
Yeah. But then
that first meeting is very,
oh
it's
God.
Even more nerve-wracking.
I had no idea. I was like, do I run? Do I accuse her of putting somebody else's picture up? Like, what do I do? So as she came closer, I just simply gave her a smile and she just smiled and walked by. So now I'm thinking to myself, oops, then she must think I'm a complete, like, you know, who's this dude? Just like, who's giving me a smile, this stranger. So I'm like, uh-oh. And then I turned around and you were right there. You were coming up right behind her. And my initial thought was that you were absolutely beautiful. I was like, oh my gosh.
Aww.
Oh my gosh, this woman here. This is going to be interesting. So yeah, it was a really nice first meeting. And you're right, our first date lasted 5 hours. I think we went to the furniture store, which was West Elm. Yeah, we had coffee, furniture store, went for a walk. But then we had lunch, dinner at a sushi place.
Hold on, back
Liberty
up.
Liberty Village.
Do you remember you said it was cold? And then
you said to me,
let's drive over. And I was like, hell no, I'm not getting in the car with you, stranger.
I had no idea that was the reason why. I just thought you wanted to walk.
And I was like, no, I love to walk. Let's walk. And I was freezing.
Yeah, I had no idea. I didn't realize that these are some things that, you know, women have to worry about, right? Getting in the car with somebody. Like,
never.
I just thought you wanted to walk. I'm like, oh, that's cool. That's cool. Let's just walk.
I did not want to walk.
400 meter walk. So the funny story is that I was looking for a reason to give you a call back for the second date. And I'm like, what do I
say?
Bobby,
on the first date? No.
After the first date. The first date went really well.
Yeah.
The funny story is that we both got food poisoning. So it gave me a reason to give you a call and say, hey, how do you feel? Like, because I didn't feel great after the meal.
This guy's so thoughtful.
And you were like, me too. I had some stomach issues. So that gave me a reason to say, hey, listen, you need to give me a second date because you can't blame me for food poisoning. That's the restaurant's fault.
You gotta give me a second date. Yeah, I remember saying that. You can't judge me. That's what you said.
Yeah,
you
can't judge me for the bad date.
By this first date, I need a second chance.
So that was the excuse I needed to give you a call back for a second date. And the rest is, I guess the rest is history because, you know, we dated for, I
not
asked.
Not.
No, I proposed 6 months after we met.
Yeah.
And we got married a year and a half after we met. And it's been, now I think we've been together for 12 years and married for 10.
Yeah.
Oh, two beautiful
kids. Something like that,
yeah. So it worked out well.
It did work out well.
Yeah.
I'm glad I trusted you eventually.
So what was your thought during the year and a half before we got married, and how did you know? When did you know that perhaps you'd say yes if I proposed?
After I came back from Vegas, I don't know if you remember, but I went to Vegas with one of my best friends. She was getting married, and this was her bachelorette. And I guess I wasn't very communicative while I was away. And then I had to pick me up from the airport.
Yeah.
And again, communication at that time was not my strength. And we were supposed
Maybe
to have a meal
isn't.
Together. I think I'm much improved from that time.
True enough.
And I didn't want to impose on you. So I thought, you know, it's late, you know, maybe just take me home. Don't worry about food. And you didn't really say anything, but you seemed off, like kind of upset. And I didn't really think much of it. I just came back from Vegas. You know, my friends, we were just not, I was tired. Like I wasn't thinking. You called me the next day and you were like, listen. I don't know what you did in Vegas, but I'm in for the long haul. And if you're not, you need to tell me now because I don't want to mess around. And you're very, like, direct. And that's when I was like, oh.
You know, that's what you call communication.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. And it wasn't rude. Like, you weren't rude about it. But you were very clear that, you know, if something happened in Vegas or if this is not something that you're looking to pursue long term, like, tell me because I don't want to waste my time. And I found that out of all the men I ever dated, you're the most clear right off the bat. Like I didn't ever have to guess with you where your head was at. I knew right away almost that you were in it for the long game. And if I wanted in, then I was too.
Mm. Yeah.
And I remember thinking in that moment, like, if you left, how would I feel? Would I be okay if you left? And the answer was a hard no. So I was just like, no, this is, like, I think this might be it.
Mm. I remember Danny, my brother, after he met you, I think we were only dating for like 2 months. And then when you left, he turned to me and said, I think this is the one, Pete. He said, this one's interesting. This one's special. So yeah, so we both know. I think so we both knew pretty early on that this was going to go places.
So how do you know? I mean, if someone's listening in on this conversation and they're with someone and they're not sure, like, how do you know? What advice would you give someone who's, you know, trying to figure out if the person they're with is the one? Or how would they know?
I mean, it's tough to say because it's so different for everyone. I think for me, I'll preface by saying, you know when you know. But if I had to break it down, I think it would be, if you coming from a place of love and respect, and not because you're missing out or because you don't want to lose something, it's a place of, you know, the whole idea of, you know, if you let somebody go, they come back to you, they're meant to come back. I think if you come from a place of love and respect, with open heart and open communication, and that's how the relationship is where it's built on, I think it's a good place. I think that's how you start, and anything else I think is built on a foundation that can crumble at any time.
Hmm.
Right?
Yeah, I think that's really important. I think the big key, the key word is communication. I think especially our younger selves, we're not as good. You're 8 years older than I am. So you're ahead of that game by a lot of years than I was. But when I think about communication, I think that was the hardest part for me in every relationship. I was always afraid to know what the other person was thinking. So I never asked and I never wanted to share what I was thinking. So I put it away and they never worked out. And that is probably a big reason why being afraid of the outcome and not being honest with yourself and the other person is such a big thing.
So right here, I will answer the question that so many of our customers have asked us, which is, I'm 50. And my wife, Andrea, is 42. Mm-hmm. So this is all coming in, Aurora. All right, let's shift the gears a little bit and talk more about like our roles within the company then. So, you know, can you tell the listeners a little bit more about your role, Andrea? And like, what do you lead and what do you take care of in Sarange?
So I am in charge of sales. I'm in charge of all our social. So LinkedIn.
Marketing,
PR. Like literally all of it. And then I guess I would say that I'm the face of the brand. So whenever there's an event, I'm the one that shows up. When there's a speaking event, I'm the one that shows up for those events as well. And I would like to think that I'm the heart of the company.
Well, I don't have the heart to say no.
But Let me explain. Even though you've built, I would say you've built the bones of the company, I think my heart is what making it grow. And I think that I have always had this, the way I lead is different than Peter, and you'll see this as time goes on, but I very much lead with my heart and my intuition and my feelings. And for many years, I was always trying to sort of suppress those things.
Yeah.
And in this business, I've done the exact opposite. Whenever I have an intuition or a download or whatever you want to call it, I respond to it. And almost every single time, there's been some positive outcome from that quick response. And often Peter's like, that doesn't make sense. And I'm like, I know. I know. Well, and then it happens and he's like, okay, so the more that these things have happened, the less he debates with me about them.
Let me second that thought. So I come from a world of corporate management, right? So, you know, yeah. I used to read a lot about Andy Grove, Jack Welch at GE, a lot of management books. And the management books are based more on KPIs, key performance indicators. These are the principles of how you manage corporations and grow teams. And none of it says to depend on emotion. Every mentor I've ever had, every book I've ever read, every course I've ever taken always takes the emotion out. You make decisions based on data, measurements, and KPIs, right?
Quantifiable measures.
Quantifiable measures, right?
Yeah.
And that sounds great. But what I've learned working with my wife is that there is a place for emotion in the company. There is a place for intuition and relationship building in that level and in that way, outside of just being, you know, colleagues that help a company and grow and add to the mission. And I think one of our listeners should be very aware that there's not one, you know, cut and dry way to run an organization. If you, as a female founder, or even as a male founder, feel that emotion and intuition is important part of your business, don't discount it. That's what I've learned working with my wife, is that there is an equal part of the yin against the yang that makes a big difference in the enjoyment and the growth of an organization. Definitely.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. Especially women. I feel like women have this intuition in a different way. But especially my generation, we were raised to try to be more like men in business. And I think that's been a huge disservice to our companies, to our families, to our who we are as people. We were not built to be the same as men. So why are we always trying to be more like them? And I think we really need to celebrate what we bring to the table as female, or as women. And I think that's what we do really well in our company right now, especially now, is that you really do openly welcome emotion and intuition. And sometimes we make decisions that way too.
Yeah. And my role in the company is exactly the yang to my wife's yin.
The opposite.
Which is, yeah. So I take care of a lot of the logistics, the product management, the finances, the decisions on how to invest, return on investment, strategic planning. So a lot of the scheduling, a lot of the outlook is determined by myself, but also very much supported by my wife. And probably the most important part of the company, which is the formulation. I know people say it's sales, but you know, at the heart of our business has to be effective, natural formulation that our customers enjoy and share for the next years to come. And the formulation, you know, the whole idea of communicating with my Korean suppliers is up to me because I am Korean.
Yeah, that helps.
That helps a lot.
A lot.
But the formulation decisions and the direction that we go is shared by both my wife and I, along with a lot of our team members. We have a very thorough testing process. We go through a lot, you know, a lot of foundational work to bring products to marketplace. As an example, the latest products coming up, which will be released starting in May, have taken almost a year to develop from not just even the inception, but just from formulation testing. Right. So it's taken a long time, and that's, we're proud of that.
We're very proud of that. I think, you know, something to know is that when Aurora was launching, I was pregnant, and I am very, very conscious of the things I put on my body and what I put in my body. And when I'm pregnant, I'm double that. So it was very important to me to bring something to market that was safe and effective at the same time. So I was not going to test anything that I didn't think was exceptional.
Yeah.
So, and I really believe that Aurora is one of those products that you don't find every day, but when you do, you keep it forever.
Okay. So let's talk about then, how do we work together?
Well, I mean, first of all, do you think how we work together is working?
I think so. I think we just really discussed about how we like to divvy up the roles. And I think that's pretty good. I leave you alone and to do what you need to do.
Yeah, we don't step on toes and we don't micromanage each other's jobs. I think because I'm newer to this whole industry, I ask a lot of questions. And Peter's always willing to answer them, but he doesn't get in my way and he doesn't bother me too much about the how I do things. He lets me go. And I don't really get into his way of him doing things. I let him go. And I think because we sort of stay in our own lanes, I think that works really well in the company.
Yeah,
for the company as well.
I think trust. You just simply trust.
100.
You know, make sure we agree on a direction. We communicate effectively on how we're going to divvy up that direction. Trust the other to do their job and don't micromanage. I think that's what it comes down to.
But you know, if we talk about in life as well, I feel like that's the same principles that you'd follow at home too. It's a little bit different because you're in a home and share a lot of the same things, but those principles can be taken home as well. How often do you hear couples complaining about the other because they're not staying in their lanes? So if you tell someone to do the laundry, then don't micromanage how they do the laundry. Let them do it themselves.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's hard because we all have our ways of doing things. But yeah, stop controlling everything.
So let's finish off our segment then. It's nearing the time with some do's and don'ts. Maybe some do's and don'ts that we would advocate to our listeners. And I think I will start by saying, communicate from a place of love and respect first.
Always. Right?
Yeah. So stop communicating if love and respect is no longer forefront of that communication. If anger, if resentment is, if that's what's driving the conversation, just stop. And you can be angry. You can be resentful. These negative emotions do happen. We're all human.
Yeah.
The key is to simply stop, walk away, cool down, and then come back when you're, once again, the emotion is love and respect when it comes from that.
I would say to communicate again, I think that's the underlying message of this, who's the boss. But I think communication is key because the way I communicate may be different than the way you communicate. And we need to have that conversation when we're not angry. So what works for you? When you're, like, for example, I know Peter, when he's angry, the best thing I can do is step back and let him walk away. And it was very hard for me to do that at the beginning of our relationship because I'm the opposite. When I'm angry, I just want to go at it until we get through it and then we calm down and it's over.
Yeah.
But that's not how he runs and it doesn't work. We never end up being successful in the end when I try to push too far.
Yeah.
So now I understand that I need to just take a step back and let him have a minute. But then he also understands that he must come back to me and we must have that conversation.
That's the key. That was hard for me.
Not next year.
Yeah.
But the next day at the very latest, because I also need to feel that my communication style has been sort of received.
Yeah. And that actually segues into another point, which is you got to communicate more and communicate often because words do not properly convey what you're really thinking, what you really want to convey at that particular moment in time. So, you know, when Andrew and I communicate something, let's say it's about a strategy or a methodology, what I mean and what she understands are different. It's always different. And so if you communicate more and more often, you eventually get to a point where you understand each other. So, And it doesn't even matter if you have a structure. It doesn't even matter if you have to do it in some sort of like structured way. It's just communicate more and communicate
often. Just do it.
Ask for clarity over and over and over again, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And also, I would say intention. Like, I think Peter and I both understand we've been married now 10 years. I think we both can agree that, you know, our intentions for each other and for our family, for our business is good. So we always come to disagreements from that place of understanding and also as a team.
Yeah.
So when we don't agree with something or we're angry at the other, we usually, I mean, we're human, but usually we come together. This is the problem. You're not the problem. This is the problem. How are we as a team going to tackle that problem that works for both of us and makes both of us sleep at night?
Yeah, no finger pointing. Take the person, take the person out and keep it to the subject at hand. Solve the problem. Not point fingers at who, what caused the problem. Yeah. Just solve the problem and keep moving forward. And I think the last one we try to live by is say what you do and do what you say. So as long
as... true to you, right?
Exactly. And when that happens, a few things happen after that. Number one, trust is maintained. And two, you now understand that you can make decisions and do other things because your partner or your employee or your man, whatever, whoever you're talking to, they will always tell you what they're going to do and do what they say. And therefore you can now make plans accordingly, right? Everything kind of proliferates off of those, off of the trust that you have with the other person.
Mm.
Right. So that's important.
So important.
All right.
So important.
Okay. I think that's it for this episode. Andrea, what's episode number three?
Hold on. Before we end that, who's the boss?
We all know who the boss is. We all know who the boss is. It doesn't need to be said, right?
I think the point of this conversation is that in different situations, we take over the boss. We're both the boss in different ways. Sometimes at home, I'm more the boss. Sometimes at work, he's more the boss. And then sometimes.
That is true.
Marcus is the boss.
So, and Maya.
So episode three is actually going to be about a Q&A. So once a month, we're going to have a Q&A. You guys write into us all the time and you have amazing questions. And once a month, we're going to break them down and answer them for you.
Well,
so stay tuned.
The boss has spoken. Episode three will be our skincare Q&A then. All right. With that, thank you.
Bye. Thanks for listening to Love Sarangay with us, Peter and Andrea. If you've enjoyed this episode, leave us a review. Your ratings and reviews help more people like you find our show. Don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode and share this podcast with someone you think would love it. Until next time, love yourself, love one another, and love the world.